The sermon you are about to hear is incomplete, of low audio quality, and not offered on cassette. Every attempt has been made to locate a higher quality recording. However, this is the most complete message we can offer. We hope that the message you are about to hear will be a blessing to you.
Happy to be back again tonight. To be here in the service and trust that it'll mean much to every one of us, that God will miraculously heal someone tonight, that he might receive glory to himself or his goodness. I'm sure if we're just all believing with one heart and one accord, God will grant it. Don't you believe that? I believe it with all my heart. Just a little tired tonight. I just look like I wished I didn't. That as far as being physically tired, no. It's I guess you would call it mentally tired. It just seems like it just the strength just goes away and you don't know where it's gone, but it goes. But God is our strength, who we trust in. Today has been quite a day. I've been praying much today concerning the meeting. So many people sending telegrams and calling in, knowing that I'm to be home Friday, and they want to know who can be the first one to go to. When you understand now why it is, it's just constantly on the move, and you don't get any time of rest. And the only way I get rest is when I don't go home and just go somewhere else. I wait a little while. Then when you do, it makes you feel bad. You think of the meetings, and then you couldn't get to pray for little children. You just seem like you can hear them at night calling for prayer. Mothers and crippled people. And what that is, that's the cry of their prayer. It's just haunting down. They're praying. I just sometimes when I go up in the mountains, I have a picture of the audience. I set it down maybe by the side of a tree. Just kneel down and just pray, pray, pray. God will heal them. And it's my interest. I like to see people get well. No one can enjoy appreciate good health any more than I do. For I've spent much time sick. Been very, very sickly in my young days. I had one infirmity, especially bothered me with stomach trouble. For years, I drink barley water, eat crackers, and maybe start out walking, start sitting that right up. Like this fest. I went to all kinds of doctors and things, just nothing to be done. They just said, well, just nothing can help you. They give me medicines and everything, but just couldn't stop it. It just went on just the same. About 7 or 8 years constantly. And I was just eating. I was just trying. I'd look at the table and see the people eat and sit down, and I'd try it. I'd drink my barley water, you know, and maybe a little fruit juice for breakfast. Barley water for dinner, and eat a few crackers, soda crackers, or the barley water, maybe a grim cracker occasionally, with the prescription and so forth, When I see people, I go to work, pick a shovel, and work all day long, and go over to eat and drink the barley water, I look at those fellows eating and just my mouth of water. And I'd had a constant headache all the time. That muscle. I'd swimmy headed. Once walked around with gray, big glasses on, just sometimes I get smelled, but it just had to leave me. I'd be so blind. Weigh about 118 pounds. And the pain is down after all those years of suffering through there. And now, my eyes are 20/20. And it's just as perfect as the human eyes. I can read newspaper print 5 feet away from me. And my stomach, God be praised, I eat anything I want to, just enjoy it. And I'm so thankful for it. And feel good, weigh 153 pounds. I just very thankful. When I was a little boy, I was Irish. Of course, my conversion didn't change that too much. Someone said, "You think there's any chance for an Irishman?" I said, "Yes, there's one up in heaven, Michael." And so I said, "So I know there's a chance then for me." But when I was a kid, I used to like to box, right, Martin? We had just a Fall City championship there. I boxed a whole lot in that, and then I got to getting up to where I could fight 8-10 round fights. I won 15 straight professional fights. And I lost my 16th one to Billy Creek in West Virginia, Davisville, Indiana, at the arena. Fought it. One of them gave a draw, and the other gave him the decision because he really rightly did it. The first time in my life I ever looked up to God to make a promise. I wasn't sure of myself when I went to the ring that night. I said, "Well, if you just let me come through this, mister, I won't have no more." So I've stood boxing the ring since then, but I'm fighting another opponent, the devil, and trying. And I'm so happy tonight that there's so much law and boxing, pulling me, and so forth like that. But in this, we have a great master, and we can just preach the gospel full and free, and let it go, and chips fall wherever they wish. God takes care of the rest. Now, I want to make this statement that I've been just a little leery about saying it, but tonight I feel just a little bit dressed up. Don't know whether you noticed or not, but that's the suit the sister gave me. I appreciate it very much. Thank you very much. God bless that sister, and thank you all. People sending me nice ties and shirts. I was a little afraid to say anything about it on the platform. Maybe somebody thought that I was get the wrong impression. I was just saying it just because maybe, don't think that. But it's so appreciated, I just couldn't let the people do things like that and then let me not mention it some way to them. Some of them don't even put their address on it. I couldn't say the woman's name that bought me that suitcase. I couldn't, she never let her. The right hand, left hand know what the right hand was doing, I suppose. But I appreciate it from the depths of my heart. And I'll say this, my dear sister, and to all you others, you never give anything to anyone in your life that appreciates it more than I do. That's right. I do. And the Bible said, "Insomuch as you have done unto the least," that's me, "of my little ones, you have done it unto me." He who receives the righteous man in the name of a righteous man receives the righteous man's reward. Whosoever receives a prophet in the name of a prophet receives the prophet's reward. And I trust that God will return it to you 100-fold. And I'm sure if God lets me keep my right mind in me, I'll never be in bar rooms and things at all. Because I don't go to those places. Never was in one. And I only go to church and to my home and out to visit the sick. That's where I go. And I trust that God, while preaching in this suit, will let me win thousands of people. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will so anoint that those people who even come by, many of them as it did in Arkansas, to touch, be healed by His glorious power. And in glory, when life is all finished, our earthly journey is over, I hope I'm standing near when I see Him put the great white robe on you. I'll bow my head and bow. Thank the Lord for clothing you in His righteousness to be seen. God ever be with you, my friend. One time I thought it wasn't right to receive a present someone give you. Brother Sharon, a man, corrected me on that. He said, "Brother Branham, I hate to correct you on anything, but said you're mistaken there. Said you called those people for not receiving their presents. You called them to lose their reward. He said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive." And he told me his story I hear it, I just believe I tell this right now. It just comes to my mind for a moment. John G. Sherrod, Phoenix, Arizona, one of the business managers of the campaign. Many of you have met him, no doubt. Does anybody here what happened over this year? Anybody? John Sherrod, Phoenix, Arizona. Well, he's a product of God's Bible School at Cincinnati, Ohio. The dean of the college was just talking to me long distance a few moments ago. Very fine man, Brother Stanley. Many of you heard Brother Stanley from the God's Revivalist. He's in my house waiting for me now. And he and Brother Raymond T. Ritchie. Many of you heard of him, haven't you? From Houston, Texas. I think he belongs to the Church Assemblies of God and has his evangelist temple there. And so, Brother Sher, he was born kind of a fellow that didn't have very much of the world's goods. His father was a very poor man, and he was very rowdy, and he left his mother. And John Sher, about 15 years ago, was selling apples at a nickel apiece out in front of him like this in St. Louis, Missouri. Apples, on a little, couldn't have a cart to take care of his mother. And he had an impediment of speech. He couldn't talk at all. He'd go to talk, he'd just stand and just... He'd try again. I'd just go say good evening. He'd say, good. What do I say? Good. That's not what he tried to get. Awful bad. Well, but he began to seek the Lord when he was a boy. And all the boys was running out to different places with the young ladies. He said, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'd be awful out trying to talk to a young lady, but I want to be married and have children. And I'm going to serve you, and you give me a wife. And he committed to the Lord. At the age of about 25, if he could have passed every woman by him in the world, he couldn't have got a better one than what he got. God gave it to him. Lovely little companion. But one great thing, he loved children so well. She was barren. He was married for many, many years. 6, 7, 8, 10 years, no children. He cut concrete on the street 25 cents an hour to make a living. And they'd save their money, and they'd bought a little three-room house. I think it cost about $1,500 back in time of the Depression. And they paid and paid and paid and tried and paid until they paid all of it off. But just about the time they got it all paid off, they had a revival at the meeting. And there was a man by the name of Dr. Sutton. I don't know whether you know him or not. He was a Bertha Canadian. A full gospel preacher. He came down there to Phoenix. And he was staying in a tourist camp. And the Lord appeared to Brother Sherrod one night in a dream. Said to him, take your silverware and your clothes and your wife and leave your home and turn that over to Brother Sutton. Think of it. After about 10 years of hard labor in the Depression, saving and striving, and the Lord told him to turn that place over to Dr. Sutton, which was a well-known minister. Brother Sherrod said, all right, Lord. Went to his little companion and said, honey, the Lord has spoke to me and told me to turn our house over, just take our silverware and our clothes and turn the house over to Dr. Sutton. When he went and told, she said, all right, dear. She believed in her husband. That the Lord said, if you do that, God's got something else for us to do. So he turned all he had now, and he didn't have no place to take his wife that night. And they found a tourist camp that cost 75 cents. And they stayed in a tourist camp that night. He was making 25 cents an hour, cutting concrete on the street. That's right. Working daily work. Great big man, weighs about 225 pounds. And about a week later, some rich lady told him if she would move some of the things back in her garage, if he wanted to live in her garage, up towards Camelback Mountain, you know where this place is, kind of a real aristocratic part of the country up there, said, if you'll keep my yard trimmed of an evening when you come in, keep the grass watered and so forth, said, you can live in my garage free. He moved up there without one thing, got some boxes, got him a spring laid on the floor, got him a mattress, and put on him and his wife slept there. And Brother Sutton said, Brother Sherrod, I don't, he said, the Lord has said to me to do that. That's all right. And he went on, and he was that way about a year. Lived a good Christian life. And finally, the lady that he lived with was a bald-headed millionaire woman. And she, seeing his honesty, he was a Christian, just like a Daniel down in Babylon. She went to him one day, she said, John, said, you know what? The Lord spoke to me last night in a dream and told me that I have to loan you $10,000 to go in business. Why, he said, he couldn't talk. He said, lady, I can't even talk. I'll never make a business, man. She said, but the Lord told me to do this, and here's the check. He said, well, I can't take it. He said, I don't want $10,000 laying on my... No, I... So she said, but the Lord said for me to give it to you. I've noticed you being a good, honest man. Seen you read the Bible. And I got me a Bible and was reading. And the Lord told me to give you a check, loan it to you for $10,000 to go in business. Well, he took the check. He didn't know what to do. And he went on. And one evening, he was walking up. He sees a little old five-room house for sale for $2,000. Well, he went out there and cashed the check. And bought it for $2,000 and went out there, him and his wife, began to knock the plastering off of the place and replastered it at night. Him and his wife working together. And he plastered up the house, fixed it around, and put a sale sign up on it. And if he'd have got $3,000, he'd have made money. And he sold it for $6,000. The day John Church worth $500,000, that's been about 6-7 years ago since it started, worth $500,000. He's the father of three fine little children. Oh, my. He said, Brother Branham, what if Dr. Sutton wouldn't have taken what God told me? See what it is? And now he said there, said, Lord, whenever I see your program, that's the extra much money. He said, I don't own your own Orange Grove Ranch houses. He owns the big Thunderbird Ranch there. One of the greatest in Arizona. He said, all these things. And he said, I've got more money than I know what to do with. And God gave him a fine little girl, then a little boy, then a little girl. That's the reason his business is tonight. The little baby's just recently born. His wife had been married for all these years, and now his very children just doing. Oh, what a happy family. And he said, when I come to see him, he said, went up to the meeting one night, and he said, Lord, is that what you're talking about? And then he said, come to me, and said, Brother Branham, you don't owe me a penny, but if I can pack your hat or bring your coat, I want to be in the campaign. I had prayer for him, and he's got me 30 feet back to him again. Now he's healed with his fine home, every word, gives his tithe to the Lord of everything he makes. Oh, my, just blessed. So it is more. Now, if you want to write to me, just write John P. Sheriff, Phoenix, Arizona. He'll get to me. And ask him the testimony yourself. Now he's printing tracts and everything, scattering the gospel everywhere. He'll probably be with us shortly again in the campaign. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Now, that isn't saying you let God tell you what to do. When God tells you, as Mrs. Jones over there is a widow woman and needs some clothes, and he speaks to you to go help that widow woman, you go help. You do that. Because, listen, friends, all the money that we have is going to pass away. There won't be no more. It's just the eternal things, it's the things that we have in our soul. Is that right? We came into the world naked, we go out of the world naked. As Job said, the Lord gave, the Lord taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the sign. Now everybody, be reverent, be prayerful now. And God will bless us, I'm sure. I'm going to ask you something tonight, if you will, for me, while I read. Maybe I'll wait till I read the scripture. Let's turn to St. James, the third chapter, or the second chapter of St. James, beginning with the 21st verse. There is a certain man in this city that I just heard the news just now. He said if I would return back, be here for Sunday afternoon and Sunday, he would rent some big auditorium somewhere to have a Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening service this coming Sunday. So I have to pray. I want the Lord to lead me what to do. I just don't want to do. I appreciate that, brother. your officer, regardless. God bless you. If you've got that much heart for the sick people, the blessing will come to you just the same as that. To see the need. Now in St. James, the second chapter and the 21st verse, this would almost look like a contradiction in the scripture, but there is no contradictions in the scripture. You know, you've heard people say that scripture contradicts itself. It does not. For 10 years, there was a challenge laid on my platform, on my pulpit, that any person who could show a contradiction in God's word, it could not be straightened by the word of God. Not so. All the scripture is mingled up, that's right. It's all broke up and placed in here. And that's the reason seminaries, theological schools, will never be able to know it. It's hid from the eyes of the wise and prudent, and will be revealed to babes such as will learn.
It doesn't have a schooling you got. Certain little old boy down in Kentucky, close to the country where I came from, someone said every day, said, Brother Bennett, what part of Kentucky are you from? Oh my, it's way down in Kentucky. Where they way down, don't even have roads in there. Just brick bottom. And so they had a little old rural school, a little old boy in about the second grade. He got up there one day and said, Teacher, the Lord called me to preach. Why, she laughed, had hair hanging down his neck. Said, the Lord called me to preach. I guess the boy is 15, 16 years old. And said, why, the teacher said, the very eyes. Forget about it. Well, he went to the principal of school. No, they couldn't let him preach. But a few months after that, some great minister came through with some great DD to his name. So they permitted him to have the school. So he preached a 2-week meeting, never had one conversion.
So the boy, father, thought the boy really was called to preach. So he went to the principal and said, well, if you let him have it, why don't you let my boy have a try? So they went down there and he let him have it. They all, everybody come out to hear this boy that night. He got up there and he couldn't read the Bible. So he had to get somebody to read the Bible for him. And he got to preaching, but when he got to preaching, that little old self-styled teacher, along with about 50 others, found themselves at the altar weeping their way through to Christ. See? That's right. And there was a real revival broke out in that part of the country, and literally hundreds came to Christ. Why? It doesn't take the great education. It takes a full, surrendered heart to Jesus Christ. No matter how illiterate you are, no fool will not err in the way, is that right? So, listen closely now as we read the word. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only? Likewise also was Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now, first thing, it looks like Paul was speaking in Romans, the 4th chapter, justifying Abraham by faith, and James is justifying him by works. But it does not contradict. Paul was speaking of what God saw in Abraham, and James is speaking what man saw in Abraham. Paul was speaking of what God saw in Abraham in Genesis 6 when he told him that he was going to have this child by Sarah. And Abraham believed God that it was imputed unto him the righteousness. He believed the promise. That's what God saw. And then James speaking was speaking of what man saw in Genesis 22 where Abraham offered up Isaac. See, what faith is, what faith you have, that's what God sees. But what your works is, that's what your neighbor sees. See, show me your works by your faith. Without your faith, I'll show you my works by my faith. See, notice, I believe that this audience here has faith. I believe that. But I believe you're afraid to turn it loose on work. Or I believe that you would just let your faith loose. Now, as far as I know, I've got two more nights. And last night, even tonight, I'm trying my best to hold back this as close as I can and keep from straining too hard. Then the last two nights, if God be my helper, I'm going to throw my whole heart and everything I got to the service. But I'd like to get this to you while I'm speaking, because probably tomorrow night and next night, I don't even want to say nothing. Just have the prayer line, get ready, and come on in the platform and go praying for the sick. But if you would do this, dear friend, if you would give God a chance, now you believe, I'd ask you if you believe, you say yes. Is that right? If you believe, you say yes. Then if you believe, you've got to act like you believe. Isn't that right? You've got to act like you believe. Now notice. If you could believe, say for instance, I was at the altar as a sinner. Now the only way that you'll ever be able to obtain anything from God is by faith. Does all understand that? For the whole Christian armor is faith. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, gentleness, patience, all the unseen. And we as Christians, we do not look at what we see, we look at what we believe. See what I mean? We believe it before there's any natural evidence. The Virgin Mary, when the angel of God met her and said, "Hail Mary, blessed art thou among women," and began to tell her that she was going to give birth to a child without knowing any man being a virgin, she accepted the angel's word. And she began to testify and tell people that she was going to have a baby without knowing a man before there was any natural evidence at all. She just believed it. And she acted upon what she believed. Now that's what you have to do to get well. Now, when there was no one to tell me what to do by gift when I was at Mayo Brothers, Rochester. When they looked at me, the best doctor in the world, and said, "You haven't even got any kind of a chance." See? But one scripture, that is Hebrews 3:1. I've seen that. That he is the high priest of our confession. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father to make good anything that we confess that he has done. But he cannot do nothing for us until first we confess that he has done it and act upon it. When you, whatsoever things you desire, Jesus speaking, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe, you receive it. That's the order, see. You believe now, you receive it, and it shall be given unto you. That's the future. For he's the high priest to make intercession for your confession, and he cannot heal you until first you confess he has. How can he save you? No matter how much you cry, you could come to the altar and cry and pull your hair and scream and say, "God, God, have mercy." I believe in old-fashioned repentance. But you could stay there and repent until year after year, and you'd never be saved until you believed in your heart that he had saved you and raised up and confessed it. If you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father and the holy angels. Is that true? Now, see, you cannot be saved only by faith and confession. Is that right? Now, he will make good anything that he died for. And here you say, did he die for my healing? Well, that's God. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He, 80% of his ministry was divine healing. 80% of his ministry was on the miraculous side, showing the people that the supernatural God was working in human flesh. And my brother, sister, may I say this with reverence, that's exactly what he's doing in this tent now, trying to get to the people. But if he was standing here tonight dressed in these clothes, he could not do any more for you than what he's doing here night after night. Is that right? For he could not, he could tell you what, who you were, what you'd done, what was wrong with you. But he could not heal you until you believed it. And when you would believe it, the Father would reveal it to him. And he'd tell you, go your way, your sins are forgiven, or so forth. Is that way he acted in his ministry? And listen to his own sacred words coming from his sacred lips. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself. So what he sees the Father doing. The Father makes known to the Son, and the Son speaks from the Father's self. Well, then if he was standing here and you'd accept God as your healer, and you'd be healed, then the Son would reveal it to you, your sins are gone, your healing is right. Now, isn't that just exactly what the Son of God is still doing, working through mankind, his instrument? Oh, audience, how I wish I could have words that I could just get this to you. Think of a people as kind, poor people, do anything in the world for you, and yet I know exactly what you need, and know what you want, and how can I get it to you, see? And if I could, oh my, I would stand here and say, line up, if I had some little capsules that I could give everyone, it'd all be healed. And I know to work, get those capsules, that I would have to take one of them with my nose and start pushing it from here to Columbus, Ohio, down the road, going down through the street, pushing it in my nose. Knowing that that would heal you people when I got to Columbus, if I had no nose left, I would start tonight. That's right. God knows whether I'm telling the truth or not. I would start down the street pushing that thing with my nose to know that this group of people could be healed. You know I want my Father glorified, and how I want him to be magnified. I want all the world to look to him. And if they would just look to him, now he is more willing to heal every person in the tent tonight than you are willing to be healed. Think of that. Now, how do we get healed then, Brother Branham? The first thing, you cannot be healed. You're just making yourself light and air until in your heart you believe that you're healed. Oh, now remember, you can't play with Satan. He knows whether you believe or not. Don't you try just to make out. You really believe. And I think, friends, if you would get down to business with God, he'd come to business with you. Oh, how you could just get that thing. Look, then by faith, you look, he's the high priest of your confession. You are healed just by the same merit that you're saved by. You're saved by the merits of Christ. Is that right? Not what your own merit. There's nothing you can do. To be saved, only believe on him. I couldn't go to heaven in my righteousness. Neither could you go to heaven in your righteousness. God wouldn't receive it. But he will receive the righteousness of his Son. And if we believe on him, as the scripture says, believe that he is, and will confess him, he will work the righteousness in us.
center came and got went out tonight and said, well, I got saved.
Somebody say, well, you look just like they always did. They're the same person. Well, if they say, well, maybe I just did. Maybe that's just a thought I did. You'll go right straight back to your sin again like a hog to its swallower and a dog to its vomit. That's right. But as long as you're willing to, could you imagine taking a hog from its swallower? You could take a hog out here and bring this hog in and scrub it up with sal soda or whatever you want it to. Do that painting on their toenails like women do on their fingers and fix it up with clothes on and put it on a hardwood floor and give it grape nuts for breakfast, and that hog would die. You take him and turn him loose, all those scoured up, he would go just as straight to the waller, just as straight to the waller, just to the waller, just as straight to the waller, just as straight to the waller, just as straight to the waller, as far as he could get to it. Why? As long as that hog nature in there, he'll be a hog. But you put a lamb out there in that waller, he'll blate and cry until somebody gets him out of it. Now, if you want to keep the hog out of the waller, it keeps the nature of the hog. That's the way to keep the sinner out of the things of the world. Change the nature from a sinner to a Christian. And that can only be done through that great, powerful work. I've seen prostitutes. Sometimes this is the first tank we ever had. The big auditorium used to have a room for the maniacs. I'll tell you a little story quick. I walked into a room not long ago. There's about 15 insane cases laying there, crying, beating their heads, screaming, and everything. They go in there, and as they shut the door, I looked in there, set a fine looking young lady sitting there. Looked like it'd be an idol for any man. How do you do? And she said, how do you do, brother? I looked down, I said, where's your patient? She said, I'm the patient. The patient? I looked at her. I couldn't detect anything just right. So I thought I'd sit down and talk to her. She said, are you counting startled? I said, yes, ma'am. But these people here. She said, well, Brother Branham, I'm going to give you my story. I said, all right. And she began to talk. She said, when I was a little child, I was reared in a Catholic home. She said, but I got out with a bunch of girls one time to smoke. They got me to smoke, and I got to drink. Around with a bunch of boys, and I become a perpetual drunk, a habitual drunk. And said, when I begin to drink, smoke, and I begin to be a prostitute on the street, telling the morals of her life. And she said, they taking me up and put me in a good shepherd's home. And said, when I served a term in there, but of course while I was in there, I had to do that. Said, when I got out, I went right straight back to it again. And said, then the law picked me up and gave me a 2 years in a woman's prison. And said, then I come out again. And said, they advised me to, some people said I ought to go to church, a different church, the Protestant people, and told me to come to the Protestant church. And said, I did, and I went and joined the Protestant church. Called the name of the church, and she said, I go right back out and have the same desires that I ever had. And she said, I've tried, I've prayed, I've tried, Brother Branham. She said, I've done everything that I know how and tried everything that anybody ever told me, but she said, I just can't keep from doing it. I said, look, sister, and I began to feel what was wrong. I said, you don't want to do that. As pretty a woman as you are, you expect someday to be married and have a husband and babies like all real women do. She said, yes, sir. I said, you couldn't be like that, you know. You'd be invisible to yourself, a disgrace to your children, and why, what all you would be. And she said, that's right. I said, you don't want to do that, do you, sister? She said, no, sir. I said, there's something that makes you do that, isn't there? She said, yes, sir. I said, as old-fashioned as it may seem, it's the devil on you, sister. I said, now, your doctor might not want to believe that and so forth, but it's the devil that makes you, it forces you to do that against your will. She said, that is right. She said, I always thought that was right. I said, now, look, if you will believe in the Lord and will pray God. She said, I've done that, brother. I said, I'm not talking about what you have done. I mean now. And you just do as I tell you to do, and you'll be free from that. She said, well, can you free me? I said, no, ma'am. Only Jesus Christ can free me. She said, well, I've already come to him and give my life. I said, sister, just a moment. But you just do as I tell you, will you? She said, I said, let us pray. And we got out and prayed, and she was crying. And she raised up a few minutes. She said, to Brother Branham, I'm going to go out tonight. And she said, I'm going to try my best. I said, no, you'll go right straight back again. I said, it's not over. She said, but I've done all that I know how to do. I said, but it's not yet, sister. It's got to be something to pull that nature from you and change you. And she said, well, I prayed, I've cried. She began to cry, and she got out. And I got out of praying with her. Asked God to make that demon turn her loose. And while I did that, laid hands upon her, she laid quite there with her head down like this for a few more. Directly, she turned around. She looked at me in those great big velvet eyes. She said, Brother Branham, something's happened to me. I said, now it's over. That's right. Now it's over. She said, I just feel, well, I don't know. I said, there isn't enough devils in the world could upset you right now. You just go on like you're going now. That's been a little over a year ago. The woman is married tonight with a lovely home. Never drank from that time or had no desire to drink or to smoke or anything. What was it? There was no medicine she took but by the supernatural, divine power of a transformation of her soul where the power of Jesus Christ struck her and took away all the desire and the iniquity. And as she would die tonight, her soul is as white as anybody else. That's right. For she comes out in her marriage, but in the marriage of the Lord Jesus, who redeemed her, and the God. Listen, she was a character, all the police court records and everything. Gunball. No notice. But tonight, she's a lovely woman to be a mother. Settle down to a good God-saved Christian. What a difference. What did that? Well, everything where the law failed, where the houses of correction failed, where medical science failed, the blood of Jesus Christ stuck up and can't fail. Why? By faith. While the power of God that would change a prostitute to a saint, a drunkard to a righteous woman, while that by the same power will take any cancer, deaf, dumb, blind, crippled, for the same blood from the same man on the same day, atone for your healing and atone for your salvation. Is that the truth? He was wounded for your transgressions. With his stripes, you're healed. The blood run exactly off of the same man at the same day. Is that right? How do you get it? Not because you think, but because something strikes you that you know you got it. Look at here, friends. Let me give this illustration. I might have done it before. What color is that shirt? It's white. Anyone that's got sight knows that shirt's white. You have five senses about it. See, taste, feel, smell, hear. Now, none of those senses will declare God. When God made man, he made him in his image, the spirit man. And he put him in five senses to contact his earthly home, not to contact God with. Those senses don't declare God. They declare the earthly home where the man had to contact his earthly home. He had to see, taste, feel, smell, hear. But faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You do not see it, taste it, feel it, smell it, or hear it, but you believe it. See what I mean? Now, if every person in here, if this boy sitting here, the lady sitting here, who or the young lady sitting here, I'm talking to crippled people, and here, and there, and the people's got diseases. If you believe, if you pray right now, until you are so sure that you are healed, just as sure as you say that's white, it's over. I'll assure you, if you'll get that type of faith, God Almighty will speak through thee and tell you you're healed. We'll reveal it. See, friends,
Therefore, you see, I'm throwing it away from myself. It's not me. I'm just and only I couldn't breathe. You couldn't breathe without God, could you? Let your spirit lead you, you're gone. Is that right? God holds your life in His hands. Is that true? You can't make yourself live. You live by God. Just the same as I can't say nothing until God says something. I have no control of it. He says it. When He says it, then it's true. Then it's true. God confirms it with signs and wonders. Have faith. Place your faith in Christ. Now, it doesn't matter if I would call Reverend Markham or one of these ministers here up to the platform to pray for you. It's just according to your faith, be it unto you. That minister has just as much right to pray or any of the other ministers, or not only a minister, but any Christian who's a believer, to pray with faith, prayer of faith. Anybody who believes is praying for the sick, believes in divine healing. Anybody, woman, man, boy, girl. I've seen my little girl. It's only 3 years old. Pray for a crippled child and it was healed. That's right. For her little heart began to beat, she said, Daddy, look at that little girl. I said, pray for her, honey. And a week or two from that, the child was well. The child. God hears anybody cry that'll believe. And the reason you ask others to believe, because you're binding your faith together to move away that power of doubt. The first sin that was ever committed was doubting God's word. Is that right? God said, the day you eat thereof, that day you die. Satan said, surely you'll not die. And he got Eve to doubt God's word and go to seeking knowledge. Is that right? Today, the whole world, I have nothing against education, but the world has got an educational program, and it's got it down into the church. And from the platform, the minister has to be a certain degree or something, or he has to have so many degrees, or he can't be any welcome in a platform. You let me get up some of these aristocratic churches and use my Kentucky words, Hank and his and Barry and Beth, and they'd kick me out. But look, brother, the kingdom of God don't come by education. That's right. It comes by a surrendered heart to God. And I'm not trying to support my ignorance, but I'm saying this, my dear friend. That is simple child faith. Don't seek for knowledge. Now, you're thinking I'm throwing it at the doctors. I believe in doctors. I believe in hospitals, institutions. Whatever can help anybody, God and more. But there's not a one of them that ever did heal anybody. And they don't profess to heal somebody. They claim to assist nature. God is the healer. If I cut a place in my hand, as I told you a few nights ago, all the medicine in the world wouldn't heal that hand. If I die and it embalmed me and stole that hand up and put all kinds of medicines on it, 50 years from today would still be there. Medicine doesn't heal. You take the life out of there, there's no healing. Life is a healer, and life is God. Jesus came that you might have abundance of life, more life than what your normal life is, to believe on Him, to be healed or saved. I'm not excited, but I know what I'm speaking of. The right mental attitude towards any promise of God will bring it to pass. There it is. You say, well, you talk about gifts, Paul. Gifts are to edify. They're addition. Here is the first and only foundation for divine healing or anything from God is the Bible. If you get off of that, you're out of God's will. And divine healing isn't a hocus-pocus affair. It isn't saying a few mystery words over somebody and hypnotizing. It's the truth revealed through Jesus Christ is divine healing. That's right. Gifts of the Spirit are brought down to edify, or other words, it's the flag of flying over top of the building. It's the appearance of the outside to attract the people in, out of the rain. See what I mean? Now, gifts come from God. If they are from God, they'll testify of God. And God will testify of them. Is that true? If you are sick, pray until you believe with all your heart. You ever just pray for something you just know you're going to get it? That's faith. Now, if you believe that with all your heart, accept it and act on it. Now, you can believe it just as much as you want to. If you didn't act on it, you'd sit right there like a sinner would let the altar. If you got a man praying and praying, you say, Lord, I know you're saying me, but I know you're saying. He'll never get through until he rises and confesses it and stays with it and shows works with it. James says, just as the body is dead without the spirit, so is faith without works is dead. No matter how much you believe. And that's what I'm telling you, friends. These gifts are brought in to make the presence of God real to you. I guess I'm really deafening you talking. The gifts are brought to make the presence of God real to you. Then your faith looks up to God and accepts divine healing or salvation or whatever you have need of from God. It isn't only do one thing or other. Anything that you have need of in this earth's journey, God will supply if you have need of it. He promised to supply your need, not your want, your need. And he's God. And he can only get it to you as you believe him. And gifts are to make you see that he's shared in his attitude. Towards one is towards all. Amen. Oh, my. Friends, you may think that I'm an awful, peculiar sort of a person. But I wish I could just take the faith that's in my heart and spread it out to you right now. You see what I mean? There'll be a spontaneous something happening here that every person in the building. You say, well, now, Brother Branham, I don't know where I can move my hand. You'll never move as long as you think that. Believe that he's done it and go say he's done it and act like he's done it. Move every inch. If you can't move it, but say tomorrow, I'll move it a little bit farther. The next day, I'll move it a little farther. The next day, I'll move a little farther. Say to that boy, you're going to say, oh, no, I'm going on. Keep on with it. Stay with it. Great faith will bring you right now. A little faith will bring you out anyhow. If you'll stay with it. Just where you see the ray of light, follow it. Stay with it. It'll bring you out. Oh, my. Now, Jesus to identify himself. He identified not himself, but his Father. It's the Father that doeth the work. Now, when Philip comes, he showed Philip, Nathanael, the people where the mules were tied, where the money was to feed his mouth. Is that right? Now, he said, these things that I do, greater than this shall you do. You do the things that I do and still more of them. For I'm going to the Father. But I'll come again and be with you even in you. If the spirit of an artist was in us, we could paint a picture like an artist. If the spirit of a gangster was in us, we'd have guns. If the spirit of Christ is in us, we'll put our meanness. Do like Christ. We'll act like him. And then if that spirit's in there, we'll have the things that Christ had, we'll have also. See what I mean? But you can't make yourself. You've got to believe. That's where I think you're doing things. Listen to me. That's where the mistake is. You've got to work yourself up into it.
Instead of doing that, just sitting there with a childlike faith and Father, look here, I'm coming to you. You promised it to me. Give me faith to believe it right now. And if we drop that faith in you, I expect it. Stand right up and that's over. Just as simple as that is. You have to be careful and be reverent and believe God with all your heart. Now, these gifts, signs, wonders, bring God's presence to you. Now, you believe tonight with all your heart. God surely has a prayer. Believe it. Let's stop. Our Heavenly Father, oh, Jesus, I talk long. I wanted the people to see, Lord, how you have died to bring us faith. Grant to us tonight, Father, thy blessing. Heal thy people tonight. Many are sitting here, some of them without faith. Some of them have faith and afraid to work with it, Lord. But better save me turn loose tonight, and as they go home, may they go home rejoicing, happy, be healed through Jesus, the Son of God.
Father, fixing to call the prayer line. A little fellow down in Houston, Texas, we've had a line that's coming through like we did last night. He's saying, God bless you, and have a little prayer. He passed through, and he was jerking like this. And he passed through, and there'd been a woman in a slow line down there. He was a garter, and she had her umbrella walking up down the street, screaming and going home. So a fellow passed by, and I said, God bless you, my brother, you believe? He said, with all my heart. I said, go home now, and let your faith will make the whole. Pass on by. Like that, here he come back in line and said, Brother Brandon, you told me I was healed, and I'm still jerking. I said, Brother, you told me you believe me. He said, I do. I said, you're not acting like it. I said, you're to believe what I told you. He said, well, I do believe it. I said, well, why are you coming back telling me you wasn't healed? See how easy it is. He said, well, Brother Bram, said, am I healed then? I said, yes. I said, you believe you are? Did you believe he heard my prayer? He told me if I be sincere when I pray, get the people believing. And nothing would stand before the prayer. Do you believe that? I said, yes, sir. I believe with all my heart. I said, go on. He said, okay. He started waiting. The minister, he come back to your life, but I haven't stopped yet, sir. And I said, well, now look, I'm not talking about when you stop now. You might have stopped for a week or 10 days or 3 months or 4 months or 2 years. I said, Abraham waited 25 years on his. Is that right? You scripture readers know it. I said, you believe what I've told you. He said, well, I don't get it, Brother Graham. I said, Brother, the angel of God who is declaring that I have told the truth told me this. If I could get the people to believe me and be sincere when I pray. Oh, I see it. I see what you mean. But I've already got the healing. I'm just waiting for it to stop. I said, that's right. It's all right. Well, I'm healed. And he went on, you know, and kept saying, praise the Lord, he was healed. About a month after that or two, maybe about, I'd say 6 weeks to be safely, I was in another meeting. It had just come out of the broadcast, out of the studio, which is in the auditorium, and I just walked out there, and a phone, the usher center said, you're wanted on the phone from your own home, from Indiana.
Well, it had to be Indianapolis instead of Jeffersonville. And the lady said, are you the divine healer? I said, no, ma'am. I said, I'm Brother Branham. She said, well, look, I'm from Indianapolis, sure, Indiana. And said, I had a son that goes down to stay with my sister each year down in Houston for his vacation. Said he's had the palsy. He said he dropped when he was a baby on his back, kind of injury. He's had the palsy, he said, for years. And said he come home here a few weeks ago and saying some divine healer healed him. And said he's just been going around here hollering, praise the Lord, he's healed and everything else like that. Said he's had the whole neighborhood tore up. And said, well, there wasn't no difference in the boy. And said we told him, so now we're Christian people. He said, but Mother, I saw blind people see, and deaf people here, seen cripples walk away, and said, pass through line, and he told me to believe it, I was healed. He said the angel told him that, and what the angel told him on the other things is right, and that's right, and I'm healed, and nobody's going to make me see any difference. I'm just going to stay right with it. He just kept on. And she said, he did that for several weeks, and said he would come down and sit down in a chair and say, well, thank God for healing. He just shaking his heart as he could. And said, the people, what, he got a reproach, that the neighbors would laugh at him. Said it all go to saying, well, I guess he's healed. There he goes. Look at him shaking. Now, isn't that a shame that somebody deceives somebody like that? But isn't that a shame the neighbors would say, well, that fellow ought to be arrested, ought to be run out of the country. And like that for telling that boy then.
If I wasn't telling the truth, I should be. Right. But it's the truth. So it went on, and she said, when he come back the second time, I forgot to tell him, he said, Brother Branham, if you heal me, I'll give you $100 right now. Now, I said, Brother, if you offered me $1 million, I couldn't heal you. And then he said, what about that woman with the garter? I said, her faith in Christ will heal her, brother. And so she said, well, now, he was doing that. He said, last Friday afternoon, he came in and said, but one of our friends from out in the country was business, and he come in, shaking, sat down in the chair and said, praise the Lord for healing me. And said, my relative from the country said, what's the matter with him? Oh, said he got down there and some preacher got him all worked up and told him he was healed. He said, he's been carrying on like that ever since. He said, boy, he said, well, I am healed. said I? Oh, she said, got to laughing at him, you know. And so the mother got to laughing at him. Just to make him stop saying that, you know, said it was bringing a reproach. It'll never bring a reproach on testifying for what Christ died for at Calvary. No, sir. He healed every person when he died at Calvary. He did. Right, you have to accept it. And when this, well, said he sat down in his chair and he was shaking like that, kept on shaking. Said he got crying. Said we got to laugh at him. And said all of a sudden he jumped to his feet, just as still as he could be. But now I am. That's right. God had visited him. She said, Reverend Branham, said we made him sit down in the chair. He said there for hours. To be sure, said he never shook a bit. And said we took him down to our church, a very noted Baptist church broadcast right through here. Said we took him down to church and the pastor looked at him and said a notable deed has been done. Said then we took him to the medical doctors Saturday. And they examined him, said there's nothing wrong. And said now this is Sunday and he's still just as quiet as he can be. Walking up said, I told you I was here. And she said, now he promised you $100 and I want to know where to send it. I said, oh, sister. I said, if he's a rich man, he got so much money, he don't know what to do with it. Tell him to go down the street and the first little ragged kid he sees goes in and buy him a lot of clothes, give it to him or something. I said, he give God praise. That's right. I said, for his healing. Now, what if he had failed when we began to laugh at him? You stay right with it. If you believe it, stay right there. And don't you fail to say, stay right there and God will make it right. All right. I remember I promised you that tomorrow night, going to try as hard as I can, we're going to have a prayer line. We're lined the people up here, all the people there that's got their prayer cards. We'll pray for them just as long as I can. And if any of you would think that God has already healed you out here in the audience, think that he's healed you, and you maybe want me to ask him to show you, would you just raise your hand and say, let's have just a little line from right here. Here's the six folks right in here. Right in the line. All right. Well, let's just come around to the audience. Will you believe now and pray with me? Let us bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, you know my heart. And you know what I have need of. And thou knowest that I'm not here to make a show. I'm only here to try to claim the promises that Christ has given to the people. And trying to exalt Christ to them that they might believe on him. Now you will bear me record, Father, that I have told the truth, that in your word and in the testimonies and so forth, that you're here, and I know that you're going to heal the people. And please, Heavenly Father, help them to believe on you and to be healed tonight. Grant it, dear Father. And now if there be strangers in our gates, and they might be here sick, and maybe for the last time, and this is why I ask this, Father, if you'll just show me something with somebody out there, something is wrong, and will heal that person, just as Moses put his hand in his bosom and returned it out. Will you do that for us tonight, Father? I'm waiting on you. Going forward now by faith, believe that you are going to do this for us. In the name of thy Son, Jesus, amen. Now, if the piano will, slowly abide with me. Just love that song. Abide with me. That's what I want God to do. Now, dear people, you know I don't know you. I don't know one thing about you. The only way I ever have of knowing would have to be through God. You know that. I'm trying to be sincere to you. I know someday I've got to stand with you before Christ. And what good would it do me to come before Christ? My heart wasn't right with you. You'd be there and be laughing. They're rejoicing, having a wonderful time, and I'd be a castaway. And I'm here struggling with all my heart. I'm tired, weak, weary. If
trying to help you. Now, you believe me with all your heart. And maybe the Lord Jesus will, if I could just get one person around us, around the group, somewhere that, now you're all believing. There's a group of people, I hope that someday you'll understand what this feeling weight is now. You see, like if there was a 10,000 needles sticking in you, drawing your line. Drawing. I just be as reverent as you can. I see somebody just as far back this way as I can get. I'm not sure just where it's at. But in that distance, if I am wrong, God forgive me. And being weak and tired. But I think the lady is sitting by the side of the man with a checkered shirt on. I think it's her. Aren't you real nervous, sister, for some type of nerve condition? If that's right, raise up your hand. That's just something with a lady just behind you, but I can't tell what it is. Because this other lady here is calling so hard. You're nervous, aren't you, sister? I just go home, you're going to be well. Do you believe me? All right, don't never say you're nervous anymore. Go on home and just rejoice and have a good time. Raise your family. God bless you. Now, I'm not sure. I'm awfully weak, friend. But I believe this lady sitting here, this blue dress, sitting right here. Is there something wrong with you right now in here? I can't make this word exactly, but is there something wrong in the bowel system? Colon trouble? Is that right, sister? If it is, raise your hand. All right. You believe me now? All right, don't ever think about that anymore. Go on, won't be what you want me to be. I believe a lady, somebody lost the garter just back. I believe it's that third lady sitting there. Did you have a garter, sister? Is that right? Well, it left you. God bless you. That have your hand up there. That's right. All right, the blessing of God is on you, sister. I celebrate you. Now let's move somewhere else. Let's get over. Everybody, this is red. Lady sitting right here. You have a prayer card in your hand. You got a prayer card for the line? Maybe I would call it, say something. Maybe you'd be in line. Is your number way back? How far back is your number? I don't know where they'll call from. You've had some trouble, haven't you? I can't tell just what it is. But I believe having you had an operation. Have you had an operation? I see you in the surgery room. Now, friends, I wish you could see what I'm looking at now. Yes, this was a cancer operation. It's come back on you, too, hasn't it? All right, you believe me now with all your heart? Jesus Christ heals. Go home and pray. Believe with all.
Lady sitting there with that swing on your arm. Wrong with your arm. Let's see just a moment. Now have faith, sister. I'm trying to get to the diseased people. Anybody sees the crippled people, they can see what's wrong with them. But this is something mystery. I look this away, lady. She's got her arm in a sling. No. That's cancer, too. Isn't that right? Say, haven't you been prayed for? Didn't somebody pray for you? You're kind of wondering about whether it's all right or not, didn't you? Why don't you go ahead now and believe that with all your heart and you'll be well. Just believe it. That little girl standing right behind there. That little girl was then sitting there with the lady. Look this way, honey. Seemed like there was something wrong with you. Kind of a black looking something hanging over the little girl. Look up here, sweetheart. The little girl.
her bladder or her kidneys, one.
It's a kidney trouble, I'm pretty sure, right?
Is that right, sister?
A kidney trouble?
Stand up, sweetheart. Let's see where that... There it is, yes. All right. That kidney trouble's going to leave you, sweetheart. You're going to be a well girl. You love Jesus? You love Jesus? Raise up your little hand like that. That's right. All that's fine. Amen. Just have faith. Believe with all your heart. It seems like now I'm not... I believe this lady that jerk got over seconds from her there. Did you have a garter, sister? Was there girls there, a garter, this lady sitting right there? Well, I mean, it seemed like somebody in there had a garter somewhere that let their foot was it. I couldn't make out. All right, sister, swallow. When you're through. All right, it's gone. There, part of your heel, God bless. I could tell the garter left, but I couldn't tell just where it was. Oh, isn't he the Lord Jesus?
Now look, man. Feel all right now, don't you? She just, there it is. She just say, praise the Lord. Now, friend, look. Believe now with all your heart. There's a lady sitting right there trying her best to catch a hold. I can't see what's wrong with you, sister. You with that red dress on there, with that red coat. You were trying to contact me, wasn't you, sister? Trying to, is something wrong with you, is there? Something wrong? Yes? I believe, I'm not too sure. It's a nerve condition causes, I believe, a convulsion. Isn't that right, convulsions? Is that right? Raise your hand. All right, God bless you. You believe me as God's servant, as his prophet? How would I know what was wrong with you outside of God telling me? Now, you were trying to find me here, and your vibration's been picked up. Now, you go home and forget about that, and you say, I haven't gotten more convulsions, and we'll never have them more. And go on, and you'll be well. You believe that? You love, will you serve God all your life? God bless you. Let's bow our heads now, just a moment. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you just now. Seemingly, Lord, if I could just talk to the people a moment, they seem to have an inspired look upon their face, and some of them are reaching out and catching by faith. Thank you with all my heart for your goodness and kindness. Thank you for all that you've healed through these past 2 weeks. The lame, blind, the paralyzed, people who have TBs already pronounced well by their doctors. Tumors have disappeared, can't even find them nowhere. Great, hideous cancers binding people has left. Doctors can't find no trace of them. They're gone because faith in Christ has taken them away. Bless these people, Father. Tonight, as we start the prayer line, may many hundreds be healed tonight. Grant it, Lord, that your name might be glorified. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, just a moment. Oh, I look like everybody could be healed. How glorious. How marvelous. What a faith. Friends, believe my word. You're just afraid to let loose yourself. You're afraid to trust God with it. Don't be afraid. What more could he do? He couldn't do no more. And here's one thing. I want to leave this tonight. That your pastor, you don't have to run around across the country to people to be prayed for. Your pastor has the right to pray for you. Now, I'm going to ask the pastors in this church cooperating in here if they will come here and let the people pass through them first before I come down here. I want to examine some of the cases that come through. All right. Is there anything that's wrong with the people? Will you pastors come here just a moment? God bless you. And I want you to line up a dual line right down along this platform. Oh, here. Come right up here and I'll stand at the bottom of the steps. I want you congregation here. I want you to believe me. Do you believe me? That soreness is leaving that place right now, worse than that, where that cancer was operated. Isn't that right, lady? Now, you want. Here's another thing, sister. You've desired, of course, to walk with God, haven't you? To get closer to him. Now, you go ahead and do that. See? You wanted to. You've been praying for a closer walk. Isn't that right? When you prayed for a closer walk.
Now, just while they're lining up, I had something to tell you. I could see it moving over here a few moments ago, and I didn't get to tell you. You prayed just hard to get to come here to have this meeting. Is that right? You prayed that God would do something for you here. And you made God a promise, too, hadn't you? Just serving the rest of your life with all your heart if he lets you get one. He's done it now. Now, you go on and serve. 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 Now, you go on and you all you've desired, of course, to walk with God, haven't you? To get closer to him. Now, you go ahead and do that. You wanted to. You've been praying for a closer walk. Isn't that right? When you prayed for a closer walk. I just, while they're lining up, I had something to tell you. I could see it moving over here a few moments ago, and I didn't get to tell you. You prayed just hard to get to come here and have this meeting. Is that right? You prayed that God would do something for you here. And you made God a promise, too, hadn't you? Just serving the rest of your life with all your heart if he lets you get one. He's done it now. Now, you go on and serve him with all your heart and have faith in God. I'm glad for this group of ministers standing here with their bowed heads to believe that Jesus Christ is going to heal the people. I don't know where Brother Paul Ryan will lead us to him. I'm going to walk down here to the end and let the people come through this line. Everyone, and let them be prayed for by these ministers first. I want to check them down here at the end of the row and see what happens to the people when they come on.
Now, the brothers tell me they believe. I believe they believe. If they do and you believe, then you start praising God when you get down here. Crippled, you'll be walking. If you're blind, you'll be seen. If you're deaf, you'll be hearing. That's right. And when you get down here, and if you got sickness, it'll be gone from you.
Then when I leave, then you'll realize that your pastor has the right to pray for the sick. They're a good, God-saved, Holy Ghost-filled man. That's right. And I certainly put my endorsement upon them to pray for the sick. All right. Well, I'll pray just a moment. Heavenly Father, you know the weakness of my body. You know what I'm trying to do. Now, I know there's people here that want to be healed. Oh, eternal God, help me now tonight. As I've lined your children up here on this platform, your believing servant, each of them with a bowed head, has waved holy hands in the air over the center, telling them to believe on the Lord Jesus and be saved. They've taught healing. They believed in it. And now the confirmation of their teaching has come to pass. And now, Father, reward them before the people who they stood gallant for. I have them standing here tonight, and standing here as representatives of divine healing in the cross of Christ. And now, Father, when they lay their hands upon them people, may every unclean spirit leave the people. May the blind demons come out of the blind. May the deaf hear. May the dumb speak. May the lame walk. May cancers vanish. Tuberculosis, all kinds of diseases leave. And may this be one of the most marvelous nights that will inspire their hearts and will set an old-fashioned revival to go in here that will never cease. May it never cease until Jesus comes. Grant it, Lord. Now I'll be standing here at the end of the row, Lord, and grant that every person coming off the platform will be praising God for their healing. Hear the prayer of your humble servant. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask it. Amen. All right. Everyone has got a prayer, Lord. Line them any way you want.
I want those with prayer cards you tonight. I want to start at 1 and go to 100. When you start across the platform to my right and your left, just keep moving. Do not stop any of the ministers or Reverend Brown and ask them any personal favors. Everyone must keep moving in order to get everyone through. If you stop and ask Reverend Brown something, it's stopping someone else from being prayed for tonight. So everyone just keep moving, please.
Be in prayer everywhere else. As soon as these are out, we'll bring in another group. Let everybody that desires. Now, if you've got something wrong with you that you don't know what it is and you want to find it out, if you've got something that's holding you back in your life, don't come in this line. Wait and come in tomorrow night or the next night for that discerning spirit to pick up what's wrong with you. See? But if you've got faith to believe, come in here tonight. Come right on in and be healed. Everyone, as soon as these are over, let the rest of them. Everybody pray everywhere. Christian, this is your duty to pray, your soul duty.
There is 100 people going through the prayer line now. Brother Branham has walked down to the end of the line, and all the ministers are lined up on the platform, and these ladies are coming through. There's a number of ladies, men, children, cripples coming through the line. Brother Branham is down at the end of the line. As you heard, there will be 100 in this line. Here's a crippled man walking down through. Practically everybody is walking straight as they're coming through. Here comes a dear old man, crippled man. The ministers have all prayed for him. Here's a little baby, a little sick baby. They've anointed this baby. They've prayed. All these ministers have prayed for it. Brother Branham is down at the end of the line. They've never done it this way before. That God is a God of diversity. God never made two leaves alike. God never had two healing meetings alike. In this meeting, so far, everyone's been just different than all the rest of them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now they're taking Brother Branham out. Brother Branham is taking just as much as he can possibly take. His brother just helped him out. He fought the devil until he could no longer...
Hey.
Brother Branham has been taken out, and the line is coming... through.